Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-eight minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me on our First Advantage Hotline, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, my man, how you doing? It's rough for everybody in this state, man. So we talk a lot about football lately. How you doing, my friend?
Well, you know, it's from a fan perspective, it is awful right now. When you consider what's happening between Fort Collins and Boulder right now, it is brutal. I get up every morning. After I get over the shock of the game, I get up every morning to sunshine, and I get to pick up my granddaughters, and then God is good. So, you know, I'm doing fine. But it's just, you know, I'll tell you a little inside baseball here. I texted my buddy Brian Roth, on Sunday morning, and I said, it was something along the lines of, what the hell did we do to deserve this? And he wrote back laughing, go, man, I don't know. But, yeah, this is, not often do bus fans and Rams fans want to, kind of coexist, but I think right now they're kind of lamenting with one another right now.
Yeah, we're looking at ESPN's worst, and it's the Rams and the Buffs. At least everybody's together. Misery loves company, Mark.
Yeah, well, listen, I know we're supposed to be rivals. I don't realize the purpose was a rivalry to the bottom, right? It wasn't a race to the bottom here. And, not good. Not good, but, let's hope that there's better days for all of us.
Mark, we asked this question yesterday. Who's winning that game if those two teams play? If the Buffs and the Rams were to play this weekend, who's winning that game?
I would like to give you some sort of form answer. With the issues that the Rams have had, I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to how they're losing. I just know they're losing big, like Colorado is. So, that's let's hope we don't have to find out. Okay.
Oh man, see, and I actually think it would be entertaining now. I mean, nationally, people might talk about this game, not in a good way though, Mark. Like you said,
No.
All right, so. Give me some hope. Give me some hope. I'm looking at, Arizona. They're 17.5-point dogs. I mean, we're seeing spreads like that every single week. Give me something, Mark.
Well, boy, you're putting me in a tough spot here right now.
Well, what about Owen McCown? I mean, the guy?
Here's the thing about it. You look at this quarterback situation. I think it's been mishandled in many respects.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I think Owen McCown has a chance? I think I mentioned him early, in camp. I mentioned at one point to you.
You did.
This Owen McCown kid has got a chance. And I said, not this year, but I think he's got a chance. In my view, and I thought this beforehand, and so if you're going to accuse me of, hindsight, that's not the case. I thought from day one, JT Schrout should have been handed the ball. It should have been his team to quarterback this season. And that's I don't dislike Brendan Lewis. I just think we had 12 games of watching what he is last year, and I'm not sure, and not that he can't develop ultimately, but for this season, I didn't see him as a starting quarterback. I thought JT Schrout should have handled the ball, taken all the number one snaps all camp long, and prepare him for the season. He's a young quarterback as well. As camp rolled on, Owen McCown caught my eye. I mean, there was a lot of things about him I really liked during camp, and I like right now. He's an 18-year-old kid who got here in June. I think he's been very well coached because of his father and his uncle over the course of his life. They both played in the NFL. And so he's got a fantastic upside as well. I just, there's been a little line we hear it all the time. When you've got two quarterbacks, you got three, it means you don't have one. And so what's happening in the first few weeks of the season has been kind of this rotating door. And I'm not sure anybody ever got fully prepared for the season, and now they're going to hand it over to Owen McCown, which I think is fine. But you just settle on one guy and then ride that guy if you think he's got something. And so there are things I like greatly about Owen McCown. I worry about him sometimes. He's 175 pounds. That offensive line has not played very well. He took a heck of a shot last week at one point. And so, I hope he's protected well, and I hope they give him a very good opportunity. Kids have to – they've got to compete, they've got to perform, and they've got to execute. Coaches then have to put players in positions to be successful and prepare them as well. And so I hope that's being done for this young man, because he's got a great upside. I think he's got a real chance to be a good quarterback. And so, you know, we'll see what happens here moving forward.
I'm 100% with you on the quarterback thing. You know, make your decision. Go with the guy. If he loses the job, he loses the job. But make it clear. Yell it out on top of a mountain who your quarterback is, and just see what happens. How's Carl Durrell doing with all this, Mark? Because I think you and I both agree. I love the guy. I want to sit and talk to that guy. He's a very nice guy, good guy. Clearly, he knows football. He got to this level. He had a great year, his first year with the Buffs. But how's he doing, you know, just when you have your conversations with him? Is it starting to get to him?
Well, you know, the thing about Carl Durrell, I've mentioned as many times, is, you know, it's one thing, I think, that makes him a good football coach. I think that I think, you know, can bother fans at times when they watch somebody that doesn't show any emotion, right? And, you know, when that's happening, and that's a criticism of Carl, that he stands on the sidelines and shows any emotion. That's kind of his demeanor. And I don't say that's a good thing or a bad thing. When a team is winning and you're Tom Landry and you don't show emotion, nobody thinks twice about it because the team's winning. When the team is losing and you don't show emotion, fans get upset with that because, you know, they start to, you know, pontificate and make stuff up. Well, that means he doesn't care. Well, that's not the case at all. Carl cares very, very much. So when you talk to Carl, his demeanor doesn't change. It's exactly the same today as it is, you know, as it was in 2020 when they were sitting at 4-0. That's just the way he goes about things. And so, you know, I'm sure he's feeling pressure. There's always pressure. I'm sure he fully understands what's at stake. I know he fully understands where his team is at and what they've done or not done. And so that's all going on internally. But when you deal with Carl Durrell, you know, day to day, he's the same guy today as any other day. And so he's just very even keeled in that response, in that regard.
Yeah, and then, you know, again, like you said, when you're winning, it's kind of cool. When you're losing, you know, fans don't really like it. Mark, is this the worst it's ever been for the Buffs?
Well, yeah. I mean, it has to be. I mean, you just go by the numbers, right? They're sitting at 0-4. Now, Gary Barnett's team was 0-4 in 2000. Every one of them, however, was a very close loss. Right. Then he went down and played a top 20 team of Texas A&M, threw a freshman out there in Craig Oaks, and they won that ball game. And, you know, didn't have a great year. The way they went 3-8 or 4-7 or what they went that season. And, of course, the following year, nearly played for a national championship. So, but when you look at that compared to this, I mean, you know, Brady, we've had four games, and every game has been 25 or more points. So, you know, I've been through some bad times, obviously, with Colorado. There were some bad times with Dan Hawkins. There were some bad times with John Embry. There were some pretty rough areas in there. You know, you got to go back to Chuck Fairbanks, and there were some pretty tough areas in there. But nobody's ever lost four games that lopsidedly. And so, you know, just the aesthetics of this thing look really bad. Right now, Colorado is not going to be favored in any game they play this season. You know, I was real optimistic about those first four games and having an opportunity to win a game or two or three. And, you know, the one thing that we do know about this schedule, we're going to get down to November when you've got, in not necessarily this order, but you've got Oregon, you've got USC, you've got Washington, and you've got Utah. I mean, that is a phenomenal stretch. All four of those teams are pretty darn good football teams. So, you know, they got to figure some answers out here, because this thing's got, you know, got a real uncomfortable feel about it right now.
Yeah, I mean, just look, you know, in Oregon State's not as, you know, I don't I've watched a few of their games, and, you know, they
should have beaten USC,
right?
Yes.
I actually picked them to do that. I'm starting to be a believer in Oregon State, so. It's just such a rough time. You know, we talked about, Mark, you and I in the offseason talked so much about how important this season was with all the conference realignment, all of that, being able to put your best product out there. And this is the worst product that you could imagine for the Buffs right now. So it's coming at the worst possible time. Now, I know you can only speak so much onto this, Mark, but, you know, that's the question, right? How, you know, Carl Durrell is... Is there any belief that he'll be here next year, won't be here next year? Or are they going to try to just keep this thing and say, hey, we're going to stick with a coach. We're just going to ride it out and see, because we don't want to keep filtering out coaches every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I always get uncomfortable, you know, I'm trying to predict that or speculate and that kind of thing. All I know is this. This is a bottom line business, right? You have to win football games to remain. Now, in Fort Collins, Jay Norvell up there is brand spanking new. This is not the start they wanted at all. But when you're someplace and you're brand spanking new, there's always going to be a little bit of a grace period, okay? When you've been around for 2 or 3 years, then all of a sudden that grace period shrinks greatly and the patience shrinks greatly. And, you know, people like to point back to when, you know, Bill McCarthy was here years ago and they went 1-10 and he got a new contract extension from Bill Barault at that point in time. And that was a little bit different time. I've had conversations with Bill Barault about that, and he said, there's no way in this day and age I could do that because of social media and how things have changed and the attention being paid. So when you've been someplace a while, the grace period, like I said, starts to disappear. The level of patience disappears. People want to see progress at some point. And when you don't, that becomes very volatile. We're seeing that right now with the fan base. I mean, you know, listen, to my position, my inbox and the various outlets out there and the emails and social media is getting inundated by my people. And people get a very short, shall we say, a short fuse, if you will, in regards to this kind of stuff. So I don't know what's going to happen with Carl. I just know that it's a bottom-line business. It can be very brutal at times, and right now is not a good situation. And I am keeping my fingers crossed and rubbing my lucky rabbit's foot. And, you know, I went and found my lucky penny, and I'm just trying to help him along and make sure he can get some wins here and turn it around for everybody involved.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm the same way. I mean, there's no choice. You're just rooting for this guy. It's crazy how time flies, too, Mark. I remember when we just talked about, it seems like yesterday, when we were like, man, he got a raw deal. COVID, the Mel Tucker thing, so the Buffs hired him much later than you wanted to hire a coach. So he got he started way behind, and then he goes and he's the Pac-12 Coach of the Year, and that seems like a lifetime ago, but also yesterday at the same time. So it's crazy how things change in this industry.
Yeah, it does very, very quickly. And here's the other thing about it. You know, Tad Boyle's always famous for using this line. When something goes bad with this program, he always says, "You know what? Nobody cares, and nobody feels bad for me." Right?
Yeah.
When it comes to other coaches and other programs, and he said, "I'm going to go out the next game, and that guy's going to try and beat me, and I just got to man up and figure it out, and find a way to you know, get the next win, and then the next win after that." And so that's the process. You know, you got to work. You've got to take care of whatever issues you may have in house. You've got to fix whatever schematic issues you have. You've got to fix whatever personnel issues you have, and you've got to figure it out. That's why they're paid handsomely. And that's what the job is all about.
Yeah, Mark, appreciate you popping on, man. I love catching up with you. And, hey, maybe rub that lucky rabbit's foot. Maybe we'll talk about a win next week. Or we'll just talk. We'll just talk. Whatever.
From your mouth to God's ears, my friend. Okay?
All right, my man. Appreciate you. Let's talk soon.
All right, see you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Love that guy. Haven't been able to connect with him in the last 2 weeks. I've been running all over the place. But when we can talk to Mark, man, he's great. 12:51 the time. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.